This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3241 for Monday the 4th of January 2021. Today's show is entitled, HPR Community News for December 2020, and is part of the series, HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers, and is about 68 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers Dave, Tojet, and Ken talk about shows released, and comments posted in December 2020.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. It's HPR Community News for December 2020 and joining me this evening is...
Hi, it's Dave Morris in a very, very cold Edinburgh.
Very cold Edinburgh or not very cold?
Well, cold for Edinburgh. It says minus one centigrade, so that's very cold.
I'm sure there are people in Alaska laughing at you right now.
Yes, that's t-shirt cold. Weather. It's bathing costume weather. Yes. I know. It's cold here, though.
Good. So, for those new to this podcast, this is the community news, which we do every month. First Monday of every month it's released, and we record it the Saturday prior to that, which is proving pretty difficult to schedule. And we go over the news that is happening in the community for the last month or so, bringing you up to speed. One of the things that happened was we were mentioned on Hacker News, so I know for sure that we have additional listeners. So this is the time where we, as volunteers, go through each of the shows to make sure that if you have missed any of the shows, that gives a quick summary of what it's about and how interesting we found it. HPR itself is a community podcast network where the shows are submitted by listeners very much, indeed absolutely identical to you. Some might say, yes, you should be submitting a show. Yes, you should. And the community itself is managed by, if you go to the above page, this is all done there, but the decisions on HPR are made by the community on the mailing list. So if you want to be part of that, there's links on every page. So that pretty much the summary of that, Dave, is it?
I think that pretty much covers it. Yes, indeed.
So we've had new hosts, although this one, yeah. Do you want to introduce the new hosts first?
Yes, we have Pat from TLLTS, and TLLTS is the Linux Link Tech Show. Pat's a very long-term host on that particular podcast. So I think he's visited in the past. He's been in other recordings and stuff, but never produces his own show. So
for HBR.
On board. No, for HBR indeed, yeah.
Yeah, he's got host ID of 11 because he transferred over here when the great rename occurred from Today with a Techie to Hacker Public Radio. He had host ID 11, so he was a prolific contributor to Today with a Techie, and I was glad to see him join us over here now.
Yeah. TLLTS, of course, has been around for a very, very long time.
Yep.
Is it similar sort of age to HBR? Older?
It's older indeed.
Yeah.
On one very hand, good. I want them to stop so that we'll be the oldest, but on the other hand, I don't want them to stop because it's such a good show.
I think I first listened to them in about 2005 when I first discovered podcasts. So I think they were in their early days then, but yeah, very good.
So By tradition, we go through the shows that have been posted in the last month. And on the 1st of December, in our series Hobby Electronics, we had a Sump Minion, my first Internet of Things device without using Python. And this was from Brian in Ohio. And it was about putting in a sump pump. And I couldn't believe this, actually, when I was posting it, because at the very moment I wanted to do something similar here to see how the Netherlands underwater, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to see where exactly the water table was. So I had drilled a 1.5 meter. I was about to drill a 1.5 meter hole in the sand in my basement, take up one of the tiles, and it was a cold bunker, not a cellar, to be brutally honest, but to drill a hole there and to see the water level. And just as this was coming in, I was thinking, yes, I'm going to do this exact thing.
That's great. That's great. I live on a hill, so it's not, I don't think it's an issue. We have water running down from the top of the hill, but we don't have, I think the water table's fairly low here. I don't know. Never dug for it anyway.
Anyway, it's a essentially a Raspberry Pi, and the probe is just four different wires cut at different lengths, and then they have an LED with a buzzer, and you can hook it up to your Internet of Things and all the rest. But yeah, an ingenious little idea for that. As it turned out, I didn't hit the water table at 1.5 meters. So I don't need this, which is kind of good. And also a bit disappointing, yeah. But no doubt I'll find some reason for it.
yeah. To have some sort of light system that's warning you the water's rising or something to that effect would be quite
fun. Or if you've got an oil tank or something, you could do the reverse, to alert you when you're at 75%, 50%, or 25%, or something like that. Handy enough.
Interesting.
Although,
stuff.
Sticking electronics into an oil tank might need to think about that one.
yeah. Depends what sort of oil, I would imagine. But
turn it into an incendiary device or something. But okay. The following day, we had an introduction to Darktable. By Paul Quirk, a brief introduction to RAW photography, the Darktable application, and then sheep may safely graze.
Yes. It's this Darktable sounds interesting. I made a note to go and look at it, but I haven't done it yet. It sounds quite cool, actually. It's something I quite like to be getting into. So thank you for the heads up.
And Kevin O'Brien left a comment for that. Another great show. I am enjoying Paul Quirk's shows, and I'm looking forward to more. Darktable sounds like an interesting application that I need to check out.
So, yes, that's pretty much what I said, wasn't it? Ray Arkelian, I think it is, says, would have been useful to have this podcast as a video instead. When talking about GUIs, it would have been a lot more useful to have a video podcast instead. Seeing it in action would have been possible.
To which I replied, supporting video. Hi Ray, thanks for the feedback. HPR is an audio only podcast, but I think Paul did a great job in describing the tool. I was able to follow along without problem while out and about. If you're interested in helping out, feel free to record a screencast of the steps Paul took with the show as the audio track, and then we'll happily link it here and release it, or if you release it under a Creative Commons license, we can add it to this episode. Actually, he would need to release it under a Creative Commons license, because that's the license of the audio track that he would be using.
Yes. Cool.
So, look forward to getting that in the future.
Absolutely.
So, the following day, how to place fake prank calls into podcasts, and what does text-to-speech have to do with this? Obviously, the Linux In-Laws, Season 1, Episode 18. A lot of interesting links in this, so much so that it attracted some spammers, Dave.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yes. Somebody trying to tempt us to some site that does TTS things, I think. But they're not in the list of comments, let's put it that way.
Yeah, just... if that was a genuine comment, then can you please repost it and just with a justification as to why we should be looking at that link, because there was nothing on that website that would suggest it was in any way related to the philosophy of Hacker Public Radio.
No, indeed.
So the next day we had PixelFed, a look at the federated alternative to Instagram. I'm sure you're on Instagram daily, Dave?
Never. We'll never suffice for that answer.
But yeah. Although there's lots of food photos up there, I see.
My daughter's a great Instagrammer, but I can't look at her stuff very easily because I'm not signed up, which is one of those things that irritates me. So I don't want to sign up to it. So.
The exact same reason that I don't sign up. They had this really irritating thing that they did that covered half the page and you couldn't sign in. And then it's a lot less now, but there was a time where, and even now, after a period of time browsing on the website, you're not allowed to view it anymore.
So that's right. As you scroll down, it suddenly gets in the way and stops you.
Yeah. Then it's not a website. It's a walled garden. And you can keep it. Thanks.
I don't follow the philosophy of these things, but there you go. My daughter's getting
fun. Hence the show, Dave. You should forward it on to her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I have mentioned it. So, but all her followers are on Instagram, of course. So, she's an artist she's trying to grow an artistic following. So, that's probably a reasonable place to go for that. But we shall see. We shall see.
And Sesame Mucko said, a complete and conclusive report. Thanks for your show about the Fediverse. I think I'm going to have to check it out.
I've always pronounced that Sesame Mucho.
That would be better, Dave.
I've never heard him speak, so I don't know how he says it. Hooker says, you're most welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Please do check it out. I'm finding the Fediverse very congenial.
Cool. The next day, the community news, Dave, nothing controversial either.
No, we must say some rude words or something like that. Yeah. Brexit or something like that. Oh, I said it.
You mentioned the word, yeah. So I should have made you fill in a visa coming over here. Oh, God. It's amazing. I can go over to you without any formalities, but you can't come to me.
Yes.
Surely
yes.
You can dig up an Irish grandparent somewhere. Dave.
I'll try. I haven't found many. Tend to be sort of farming folk from England mostly. But
that's where all the navvies went through, and then embarrassing granddads.
Some worked on the railways, but that, I'm not sure that makes you honorary Irish or anything, does it? No.
It's worth a try, sure. Anyway, next day, Jeroen Baton, musings about writing a book and the Odo software suite. This, jumpstart your business with Odo. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool. The whole idea of doing this with ASCII Doctor, I think it's what he used, wasn't it? Just can't see it written down here in the notes, but he mentions it, and it sounds really, really quite good what he's doing there.
And it was good. His wife jumped in and told him to stop thinking of it as writing a book. And that's as a business model, getting somebody to pay you on a daily rate to do it, albeit a cheaper daily rate. It was a good compromise to come to. Somebody wants to write the book, somebody wants the software, and somebody is willing to pay for it, and it gets into the open.
Yeah. Very good.
I don't know what the license is, but still the book is there.
Indeed.
My COVID year summary. By Be Easy, and I was out on my COVID exercise while I was listening to that particular show, and where he goes through how getting data out of one site and putting it into another site, very, very impressive show.
Yeah, I find this fascinating, actually. I did do
certain amount of this in my work life years and years ago, and it's quite a challenge. It's amazingly challenging, and also I think the challenge that Be Easy is describing is somewhat larger than what I was playing with. But but still, it's fascinating to hear. I'd love to know, you know, get some more details of what it's like on the cold face of this type of thing. You know,
exactly. And it seemed to be important information that they were gathering, you know, the basis on which there are going to be decisions about life and death situations are going to be made.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Important stuff. And, yeah, the point about it being formats and so forth, lots of different formats, and why, is an excellent question. And it's the case all over, isn't it? It's still like that. All over the world, I imagine.
So Brian in Ohio says, compliment. Good to hear from you. I appreciate the show. Thanks for the insight. Could you do a show on the mechanics of the PCR test? Also, I hope this show doesn't lead people to think that centralized control governments are the solution to any problem. Open standards, decentralization, liberty, and freedom for all.
Yeah, well, quite. Be Easy says, re-compliment, I will definitely do a show on PCR. Also, I agree with you that open standards and decentralization are good things. However, without the open standards and a cohesive, unified plan, decentralization leads to all the problems I've described here. Just, that's a good comment. I like that.
It's a catch-22, I was thinking during my walk today that's... mandatory exercise is what I've come to terms with. During my mandatory exercise, I was thinking about, you know, if this was the Hollywood movie, we would all, you know, planning would be put in place for the eventual next virus that comes around, you know, like they, and when I compare it to the amount of investment that has been done during the Cold War, with nuclear bomb shelters and missile control systems and thingy alert systems. If we approached medical pandemics in the same way, you know, you could be more prepared for it as a globe.
There you go. But the fact that these vaccines have been created with such incredible speed shows that there are all manner of skills and abilities that could be used in that sort of scenario. And
but also, on one hand, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go on.
No, that was pretty much the end of my.
That was discussed yesterday. I was saying that it wasn't done with speed. You know, shortcuts haven't been taken. It's just the shortcuts have been taken on the order at which the things are released, which makes me think, you know, there are other vaccines that go through this slow process, but surely all vaccines should be processed this way, that you examine the so for these vaccines they were able to speed it up by virtue of the fact that they were doing ongoing assessment as opposed to, you know, milestone assessments.
Well, I heard it put that because the genetic structure of this virus was available very early on, courtesy of China, I think is fair to say, then it was possible for people who were already working on these mRNA style viruses to say, oh, okay, then all we need to do is to take that bit out of the gene sequence and plop it into one of our mRNA delivery systems, and away we go. So it was relatively quick. It was done within a few months, but then you've got to go through the full 1, 2, 3 levels of testing and so forth, obviously, because otherwise you could be killing people with this stuff.
Yeah, and they were able to speed that process up by doing the continuous assessment rather than you know, waiting for the trials to be fully finished.
It's a serendipitous element to it, but also you know, the fact that the science had reached that phase was very, very important, which is another issue that politicians don't seem to want science to be proceeded with unless it has some sort of direct financial reward to it, where mm-hmm. a lot of this was basic science, you know?
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. And in fairness to the US and other countries who produced the vaccines prior to them being approved. So, yeah, otherwise, you know, if they hadn't been approved, then all that money would have been, all those vaccines would have had to be dumped if they didn't, mm-hmm. you know, proved to be working.
Sure, sure.
Credit where credit is due. So, adventures in retro computing with the Mac Plus. Never had a Mac. Well, it's not, that's not true. In school, there was Commodores and Macs, but they... you had to press a button to eject a floppy disk on the Macs. And that always frustrated me.
Yes, yes. There was a guy, a consultant who was working for us when I was working. I was working with a Burroughs mainframe. He was a consultant on those things. And he had a Mac Plus, which came in its sort of strange carrying case, like a sort of beer chiller type bag thingy. And we were all very impressed with it. It looked really, really nice. We did ask him what happens if you drag the desktop into the bin, and I think he tried it and it didn't have quite the effect that he wanted, but because we were early days of those sorts of desktops and drag and droppy stuff. So, yeah
I lost a few projects that way by the old disk deleting and happily deleting, and I couldn't get my disk back. On the old IBM PCs, you could just press the button if you're fast enough before it overwrote your file.
Oh, yes. Good times.
Anyway, the following day we had grill repair, which is not the grill of your car. It's your barbecue grill. Butane, I believe.
Yeah, it's one of these strange differences in terminology between countries, because a grill is not quite the same thing in the UK. It's, you know, sort of anyway, it doesn't really matter, but it's just
the thing that you toast on the top of the oven.
That's right, it's the thing that throws me very slightly until I have to reset my brain slightly to it's what we call a barbecue. That's just, yeah, it's part of the fun of communicating exactly. with our friends across the Atlantic and stuff.
And the barbecue is the thing where you're standing outside and it's raining and the smoke is coming in and all the sausages are burnt.
That's one, yeah. And the chicken's not done in the weather middle, it's just burnt on the outside. Yeah. Oh, yes.
You don't have often enough to practice your skills, you know, once a year.
Indeed.
But it's an insight to me that you can go down to the local DIY shop and buy replacement components for a barbecue. That just is a completely different climate entirely to where I've ever lived.
Yeah, I know. I do know people in this locality who have these sorts of fancy gas-powered grilling thingies, and and it's quite convenient. Run out and cook something cool. In a hurry. Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
No, far from anything being wrong with it. I would love to to have the opportunity to do it more often, but yeah, there you go. I don't.
Yes.
Using Task Warrior to scrutinize your work. Wow, this is an amazing little tool. Again, a Yaroon show. And John Culp says, I like it, but probably won't switch completely. This was a great episode. I really like the tool. I downloaded it, tried it out, and it worked just as advertised. I don't think I'm going to be using it with my primary to-do list, since it would require me to be sitting at a terminal to access it, but I'm glad I know about it. I mostly use my tiny to-do list, CHBR episode 1899, which I have installed on my VPS, virtual private server, and can access from any web browser. I'm also use the task application in Office 365 for certain tasks at work, since that's the platform our university uses. I definitely find Task Warrior appealing though, and I'm amazed at the robust feature set. Thanks for this introduction.
And I said, write a manual. Great show.
See what you did there, Dave. See what you did there.
I've tinkered with Task Warrior for years, but never used it in earnest. It's been around for quite a while and has developed a lot in its lifetime, but I've never quite found that it could do what I wanted. I think this is partly because you have to explore every nook and cranny what it offers before its usefulness becomes clear. Or maybe I mean I have to do this. I've always found its documentation to be a bit difficult to penetrate because of the way it's laid out, and I haven't persisted. I mainly use the task capabilities of Thunderbird to remind me what I should be doing. However, I'd like to master Task Warrior and look forward to reading your book about it, smiley face. I'm actually using it now because the documentation has got somewhat better, and the hints here about how to do some basic things got me hunting more seriously. I think in the early days it was quite basic in its content, and I did struggle with it a bit, but now it seems to have developed a lot, and it's actually really quite cool, really clever piece of code, since it interprets what you want, even though you don't necessarily lay it out very well. You know, did you really mean to do that? You know, did you mean to delete that or whatever it is? Yeah, it's cool. Structure. I thought structurize was a typo, by the way, using Task Warrior to structurize your work. But it just goes to show I don't know. A lot of things I think I know, I don't. Structurize is a valid word. Very, very strange and lumpy word to my taste, but it's just an alternative way of saying structure.
Okay.
These things bother me.
So. Oh, I know, Dave. I know. I have a wardrobe here full with emails that you sent me. Let me just check. The Wither Weather, the It's Been, and what's the other one? Actually, I was missing one the other day that I didn't print out. The effect and effect one.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
that's
I think that one. Was in the show.
I need to do one on the various spellings of rain, because I see so many people say, I'm going to rein this in, and they put R-E-I-G-N, as in what kings and queens do, as opposed to reins, the things you control a horse with. So it's a horse-related expression. So
and the stuff falling from the sky.
Oh, yeah, that stuff, yeah. People don't usually confuse that one, though. Not in my experience, anyway.
Lovely. Moving on. Freshwater Aquarium Basics by Enigma. This was one that I managed to get him to do. Ha ha ha. If you ask, they will come. John Culp says... Pictures, great episode. I really enjoyed it, but a major component missing. Pictures of your fish and tanks. I keep wanting to see these. Looking forward to follow-ups.
Good for John. Yes. Yeah, very true, very true. It would be nice to see that. I thought it was fascinating. I like, not a hobby I've ever got into, but I've worked in animal laboratories and stuff where there's loads and loads of fish tanks and stuff.
Stone him.
They're cool. They're good.
Yeah, indeed. My brother-in-law's kids have an aquarium. It's kind of cool. But as I said to my children, I don't like keeping livestock inside.
No. It's no. We did, in my degree, we did quite a lot of study of guppies that do interesting behavioural thingies, and I've always sort of fancied keeping some of them. Little teeny tiny things, but they display to one another and do all sorts of complicated behaviours and things. But yeah, it's a big responsibility though to keep them.
Yep.
Keep them alive.
Yep. YAML basics, on the other hand, it's a big responsibility trying to get YAML working. But Tatu will help us with that.
Yeah, this is good. I enjoyed this.
The only thing I disagree with him, that there are no YAML police. Yes, there are. You haven't spoken to Dave Morris yet.
When have I ever criticized your YAML? Come on.
Do a quick search here in my email.
Usually, yeah, the things that what's an use interesting the YAML approach, complain. It is a little bit fussy though, isn't it? It does tend to bite you when you don't expect it to. But Klaatu's comment about using the YAML lint thing is very very helpful, I think, because that will lead you out of all the tangles, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I personally don't see. I use YAML a lot for work as well. It's everywhere, but I don't see the reason to use YAML when you can use JSON. And yeah, just makes more sense always.
Yeah, I think you're right actually, because you can easily be trapped in the nasty tangles of the maze of YAML if you're unlucky. So JSON is more forgiving on the whole, I think.
Yep. And the following day, we had the Linux in-laws beeps with an interview, Redis. Can you say the name, please, for me? Because I think I would.
Oh.
Whatever about butchering our own host names, they understand my problems, but I don't want to butcher somebody who's kind enough to be on the show as a host, as an interviewee.
I think it was Itamar Haber or Haber. I'm not sure which. I don't honestly remember. It's a European origin, so probably Haber. I'm not sure. But yeah, very interesting. I'm still not quite clear under what circumstances you use Redis. Is it like BSD... I've forgotten the name of it now. There's been a tag and value type database available through is it a BSD project? I'm failing to remember.
Yeah.
And this seems to be in a similar but a more advanced version of the same thing.
It's like a NoSQL database, just a dictionary and stuff.
Yeah. But this preceded NoSQL, I would imagine. It's that sort of tag and value stuff has been around for forever. We used to run LDAP big time at my work, and LDAP underneath is using one of those to hold all of its data. So it's not a database per se. Yeah. So because the way that LDAP is structured, you have tags and values basically, and that would map onto these types of tag value databasey things, and of course index them powerfully through the tags. Yeah, sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, no, what goes around comes around, Dave. That relationship that LDAP is like a NoSQL database. It's just mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, if you look at OpenLDAP, it will sit on one of these things, but also it will sit on top of a database. And there's Bash underneath it as well, if you want to. It's just very, very powerful. That's what we used to run.
Yeah. Let me just check and see if there's any shows on that, Dave.
Who the hell uses LDAP these days? Does anybody use
Everyone, it? Dave.
Do they really?
Where do you think all the authentication engines use?
See, I've been to tons of conferences where they talked about DAP, which was the predecessor, the big one. What was it? OSI 500, was it? Which Directory Access Protocol, which got really, really, really complicated. And then LDAP was invented, and which is a much lighter weight thing. I think the L stands for lightweight, actually. And that was back in the day. I suppose it was just me. I'm just seeing it from my point of view. I don't use LDAP anymore. So, because why do you need it in your house?
Well, all the Windows directory stuff is essentially LDAP.
True. Yes, although they tried not to let you know, or there was a time when it was really hard to use it that way. But and absolutely. Also they bent the standards. They fiddled with the standard. It made me so annoyed because they said, okay, we're using this standard as defined here, but we've just changed the lengths of these fields and stuff. So if you were interfacing between Open LDAP and their stuff, you had to put filters in that changed the formats between the two. That caused me a lot of pain over the years.
Embrace, extend, and extinguish, folks.
Kick them in the head. But yes.
Yeah, a one-way valve on technology, that's what it is.
But yeah, I could rant. In fact, I just did, so shut up.
Anybody else out there thinking nobody would be interested in a show like that? Did you even hear that? I don't know if I was press and push to talk for...
You went silent for a bit. I thought you were
I was a saying, cup of coffee. It would be great to do a show on that. Open LDAP, introduction to how to install, setting up local authentication for your home network, that sort of thing. Nextcloud with shared authentication, blah, 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 blah. Sharing your home gear.
Can you do LDAP with Nextcloud? Does it?
I don't know that, Dave. What I'm hoping somebody will be able to tell us.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay.
I think it does, but I haven't configured it yet.
That would be.
ToeJet.
Hi, ToeJet. Welcome to the HPR Community News Show. So we'll sign ToeJet there up to that show and look forward to the series. More than three shows on any topic is a series, just heads up. So the following day we had Layers, the most important concept in using GIMP by Ahuka. And actually, I go further, it's the most important concept in using any of those graphical tools, particularly Inkscape.
Yep. Now this is, I'm enjoying this series. It's great. It's covering areas that I sort of vaguely knew, but didn't know I knew. And it's just opening my eyes quite a lot. This is very good.
When Ahuka does something, he does it properly. It has to be said.
He's very detailed. Yeah, very thorough. Absolutely.
This weird guy called ToeJet did a show about USB keys.
I was bored.
A brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. I was thinking, I actually want to do this for if ever we're back in work, you know, just to be able to pull out a key and automatically lock your desk.
Oh, this is great. Very, very impressive.
For those that don't know, it was a show about having a USB key that locks and unlocks your machine, Linux machine. And Windigo had a comment. Do you want to read that, Dave?
Yes, I'm just fighting with a cat who wants to climb over my keyboard.
Oh, I can do it.
It's okay. I think she's been deterred. Windigo says, great technique. This technique seems like a great way to allow my loved ones to have an emergency skeleton key for all of my computers in case that hypothetical bus ever shows up. Thanks so much for the tip.
That is a very good idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point to take away.
Do you use this a lot, ToeJet?
Yeah, I set it up because I'm often working in a place where I want to have my computer just sitting there, but I don't want to keep locking and unlocking it manually. So I can just plug the key in and walk away when I walk away.
Very cool.
Strapped your belt on one of those chain things. Very good. Any more shows in the pipeline other than the LDAP show that you're planning on doing?
I'm going to have to work on the LDAP show, and I still owe you one about my podcast feeder.
No rush. You know, just leave that there so the guilds will constantly work.
It's only 5 years overdue.
Yeah, that's nothing. My satellite show was 10 years. Speaking of Nextcloud, Tlatu, our friendly neighborhood alien, provided us with Nextcloud is easy and you should try it. And I did, and I posted a show. And there were lots of people responding. Can you do the first one, Dave?
Yes, I will. So the pro says, this is a nice group. This is very nice. So, well, it's good to know. Thank you very much.
And I replied going, upgrade via the UI. Hi, Klaatu. I have used the UI for upgrading. You go to Profile, Settings, Administration, Overview, and Upgrade. Is there any reason not to do that? Do that. I'm amazed, Dave, you didn't spot that typo. Not to do that.
I don't really look at comments that closely. So.
Yeah, your name is associated, so if you want to be a moron, fine. Yeah, thank you very much.
I didn't see.
Yeah, the UI upgrade for Nextcloud works pretty smoothly.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible actually. And there, if it runs into errors, it has pretty much a link there. Press this button to find out what's going on.
I may end up owing you another episode, but you can also schedule the app updates to be run on a cron job, so it does that automatically.
Ooh, look forward to that show as well.
So Kevin O'Brien said, good inspiration. Thank you for this information. It's getting me thinking. I have an account on a web hosting service, and it sounds like maybe I could install an instance there. But I wonder if I should create separate domain for that. My sites run WordPress, and of course I have MySQL databases for that. But can you have both a WordPress site and a Nextcloud instance on a single database?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I don't see why not. I'm not breaking up with
her. I had them both running on the same URL before. And I had a lot of trouble with the Nextcloud URL with the redirection, so I'd recommend if you can put a separate URL just for the Nextcloud.
Yeah, but the database itself shouldn't be an issue.
Database should not be. They're a separate instance, yeah, or a separate schema.
Using database words there, Dave, did you notice?
Absolutely, yes. All good stuff. Yeah.
I better watch before I get another episode.
Yeah. Oh, dangerous. I couldn't possibly think of a show to do on HBR. 5 minutes talking to me and you've got a database. HBR RPG Club review Shadowrun 5e, Cyberpunk plus Magic and a Fistful of D6. Excellent. This is basically the book club for RPGs. Brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah, it was quite a conversation they were having there, wasn't it? It was, lots of interested people talking about the things that interest them. It's always good to listen to.
And it's, from my point of view, it's good to know what ones I definitely would not like. I have the feeling that there's some RPG out there that, you know, I will fall in love with and become the uber nerd on. But this one ain't it as yet. It's getting close, but not just it.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think my brain is quite suited to this sort of stuff, but there you go.
Too much maths.
Yeah.
So the next day we had Swift 110 with the Apple products I have owned and a review of said and same. I've never owned an Apple product myself, I must admit.
I've got an iPod that I got secondhand to run Rockbox on, but that's the sum total.
Got a divided house. Half of us have Androids, half of us have iPads.
No. My wife has an iPhone from work, but that's about it.
Yeah, my son's quite a Mac devotee because he was in doing a music degree. That was pretty much a prerequisite, he reckoned anyway, but... But yeah, there's iPads and stuff around, but none of which I use.
So the following day, soldering tips from Operator. Some very good ones, especially related to taking batteries out of old stuff. that one has come back to bite me several times, I must say.
Yes. Not doing it definitely will mess you up.
Yeah. That reminded me of an interesting project that may or may not be ended on the EEV blog, where he has had long-term projects where he's put batteries in, alkaline batteries, to see under what conditions they spill and leak and stuff. But don't tell me if it's over, because I'm nearly 2 years behind on my podcast listening.
Yeah, I know that problem.
Every time I catch up, he releases another three shows, so I'm always about 500 shows behind. And then the following day, we had Patrick DeVille and Claudio Miranda, The State of Linux Audio Apps in 2020. And it was really good to hear these two guys back, because I hadn't heard either of them for a while.
No, I've just... Yeah. I've heard them talking about these types of things quite a lot in the past, and learnt a fair bit about these, about some of the things they're talking about. But it was really refreshing to hear them covering this subject again. And there's stuff there that I had never come across and really must go and find out more about.
What was that podcast they were on that they, Pat had, about the Linux, the TV, Myth TV cast they had?
Yeah, Mythbusters, yeah, was that what
back
it was
in the day? No, Myth
yeah.
TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm confusing. Exactly. I listened to a little bit of them, and they used to talk about it on TLLTS sometimes. There was references to it, and it was Dan Fry was involved in that as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's cool. My daughter has just wanted to record some of her music. She's written some music, and I told her, well, you know, the keyboard is that you're using is a MIDI keyboard. What's a MIDI keyboard?
Oh, no.
Actually, does anyone know basic introduction to MIDI and stuff? Some shows on that would be absolutely awesome. Very timely as well, because I've got a MIDI keyboard. I plugged it in. It came up as a USB device, and now I don't know what to do. So next steps, please.
Yeah. I'll tell my son, but I know he probably too busy.
Get a Mac. That is not the answer. So, John Culp, long time no here, cloning a hard drive with Clonezilla. Oh, my heart went out to him on this. Particularly as we, a few days later, had our own particular piece of hell with a hard disk.
Yes, indeed. It's nice to hear, John.
Yeah.
It was an interesting show.
Or he uses Clonezilla to back up his hard disk onto an external SSD. So, always has the latest copy, which is a good idea. And the final one of the year was a Christmas special from the Linux Outlaws, where they're going through predictions and stuff, and some history of things.
Yeah, a lot of stuff covered there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Jeff Bezos wasn't Jeff Bezos's name, but that's interesting.
Hello. So the final one of the year was community project proposal. So Enigma is discussing a project proposal called Hacker Exchange, a proposed content sharing site that would aggregate audio and video and text-based tutorials. If you're interested, join irc.freedom.net hashtag Hacker Exchange.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting. Haven't looked into it at all yet, but be fascinated to know more.
Yeah, following on from the Digital Dog Pound and Bin Red stuff, and so good place. And that was that. Year filled up, and suddenly 260 new slots become available. Dave, funny how that happens every year.
Yes. So yes, what we need is people to fill them pretty quickly. Actually, yes.
Yeah, new hosts would be awesome. So there were a few comments on previous shows, but I think we've already covered them. Or have we? No. Locating computers on an enterprise network. Wow. Hey, operator, just wanted to let you know this is probably my absolute favorite HPR episode to date. Very good. Made me want to go to get more into networking. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
That's a great comment.
That was from NSTR.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's a fairly frequent commenter. We had somebody called Crust Punk who commented on Cedric DeRoy, whose name we don't yet fully know how to pronounce, but thanks for a wonderful episode.
they say. It amazes me that there are actual people out there having this as their job. This is fingerprint access control story from
Cedric. Yeah, exactly.
It seems like a dream. Absolutely. It's quite a tale. It seems like a dream come true to me. Here I am, unemployed at the moment, trying to scrape by. This surely puts one's life into perspective. Lol.
And on the fireside chat with Enigma, operator comments old days. Great episode. Last time I talked to any of those folks was years ago. I think I ran into troops more than 5 years ago. We used to have a local group that met up at Fry's Electronics called Hack Alt or something. I'm waiting to start up a local meetup here in Roswell, GA. It was GA.
Is that Georgia?
Would it be?
Don't know. The only one that fits in my mind, but that means nothing really.
Georgia it is. Yes. Well done. So we've covered all the other comments. Mm-hmm. And mailing list discussions. So as I said before, policy decisions surrounding HPR are taken on the community as a whole. This discussion takes place on the mailing list, which is open to all HPR listeners and contributors. And discussions are open and available on the server under Mailman. So some changes to the website. I better go through that because I made some changes following on from lots of comments that people have made on before on the mailing list. I just wanted to make sure that when I did update them that I covered them all. So syndication, we had references to MP3s being unencumbered. I removed Google Play, changed the archive.org link, added links to iTunes, Google Podcasts, Play FM, Spotify, Cloud Mix, if people have more of those services that are using or that we're on, please link them to us. Some changes to the contribute page and stuff you need to know page to clarify our policies. They were previously discussed, but better do them here. We are not a community podcast network. We're a community podcast. The outro still needs to be updated. Your show will not be moderated has been changed to your audio will not be moderated. Changed to stuff you need to know page, reorganized some sections. The unmaintained Hacker Media site has been removed and Free Culture podcasts have been added. The links have been changed from HTTP to HTTPS. The audio for your show will not be moderated. We've changed, we do not vet, edit, moderate, in any way censor shows on our network too. We do not vet, edit, moderate, or in any way censor any of the audio you submit. And we added, we do transcode the audio into different formats. Please note that this only relates to the audio you upload. The rest of the metadata, branding, summaries, tag show, etc., are managed by the HPR community and may be edited. The show HPR 2210 on freedom of speech and censorship describes the agreed approach to this topic. And we added keeping accessibility in mind. Well, when you include, so this is about putting links in about the screen readers, the discussion we had last month about adding more description in the click part instead of click here. Mm-hmm. For more information on this topic, click here. So the whole thing. Well, that's pretty much it. Any comments on that, Dave?
No, that was there were some helpful pointers there. It's great to have new eyes scanning this sort of stuff and spotting some of these things that you just miss because you've looked at them so many times.
Well, that patent and comfort thing only disappeared last year. It was still hanging around in some jurisdictions, but last year it kind of disappeared and never really got around to removing it, so it's a good thing to do. And the clarification about not editing the audio, while we had a long and heated discussion on the mailing list and on the community news shows about it, formalizing it in words is no harm to do on the website, that people understand that we're not going to edit your audio. It's a bit disambiguous. Sometimes we use the term show for the audio that you submit and show for the entire thing that gets sent out. So no harm to split that up. We were offered, because of our exposure, an account on rsync.net. I tried to set it up and ran into some issues, but with everything else going on, I haven't had a chance to get back to it yet, but will do. The HPR Mumble server, there was discussions coming up to the New Year show about upgrading that, and I don't think it was clear to me what was being asked. Basically, the Mumble server is a hosted service, a bit like WordPress is hosted on WordPress.com. So if you've got an instance on WordPress.com, you have no ability to upgrade your WordPress instance on WordPress.com. You have no access to the operating system. You have no access to anything. You're just subscribed to WordPress.com. So I don't have the ability to upgrade the Mumble server. And the reason that was an issue is some of the Windows clients were giving an error, certificate error, which happens, of course, on New Year's, which is boggles me why everybody decides to renew their certificates on the one time of the year when you actually, when the vast majority of people are celebrating a holiday. But okay.
Indeed.
12 noon on the 1st of April sounds fine to me. You know, that's, yeah, pick a time. Anyway, long story short, I've discussed this on the Community News show, but on the HPR New Year show. By the time you hear that, it might be July. But anywho, the summary is we're not sure who exactly is using that server. And if it's just Hacker Public Radio, we're more than happy to move to Delwyn has offered us a server, as has Dave from the Bugcast, the award-winning podcast. So we have, you know, there's no reason paying money to somebody for a service that isn't being used anymore when I could give that money to somebody else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the decision was taken to stay with the current server for the community or for the HPR New Year show.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing was we got requested by FOSDEM if we wanted to do a boot. What they're offering is a position. So FOSDEM is going ahead online this year. And obviously there's going to be no boots or anything around. So they are going to do it online. So a position on a special stands website. For you to introduce your project, you will organize the stands per theme like they normally do, hosting for a web page with several short videos where you can introduce and demonstrate your project and show people the latest features, discuss your own roadmap, etc., and a chat room facility to allow visitors to interact with you. Details will be confirmed closer to the event. Now, as we have known when we apply as Hacker Public Radio ourselves, we have been rejected. When we have applied as the Free Culture Podcasts, we have been accepted. And Free Culture Podcasts is a project which I set up for this very reason, so that we could not only promote Hacker Public Radio, but all the associated projects that we have featured on Hacker Public Radio, all the podcast recommendations of Creative Commons podcasts that we've had. And it gives us more scope to promote other shows, not just Hacker Public Radio. If this is not your thing, maybe crazy science fiction stories are your thing, or open metal music is something that you're into, or you want to listen to the Mintcast, or you want to listen to the RPG shows. So that's what I would suggest proposing. But we would need people to do this, because it will take time and it will take energy, and it's all very well saying I'm going to do this, but there's a lot of work involved in coordinating this, which I'm not sure I have the energy for, to be brutally honest with you, after this year.
Yes, I think that's pretty likely to be a common response. It was on my part, I'm afraid.
Yeah, But on the other hand, if there are people who want to take the lead in this, I'm more than happy to help direct you in. Yeah.
I think we've missed the deadline anyway, isn't it? That was responses by the 25th of December.
Oh, right. So much for that. Okay.
I think I saw that in the first
Thank
email.
You, Dave. I'll just edit this out.
Yeah. Deadline 25th of December. I see it now. Yeah. So
thanks for telling me about that.
I only just saw it.
5 bloody days afterwards than you used to be.
Hey, it takes a load off of you of having to decide.
Yeah, that's true. I might send it in anyway, but I don't know. Okay, so what else? Anything else? Nothing else? Tags, Dave. Tags.
Yeah. So switching tabs here rapidly. I see that we got 3 tags added to shows in the last month, and this was courtesy of Windigo, who sent stuff in on the last day of December, and I didn't manage to do any at all in the entirety of December. So thanks to Windigo for just keeping the project going. But hopefully 2021 we'll see some more rapid progress. But
it'll be good. Added tags to the main menu on all the pages. The page is a bit clunky at the minute, and we'll work on that later.
Yeah, I've just been doing some work with it, actually, to make it a little bit tidier. But we probably ought to make it more usable and explain how to use it.
What I'll do, Dave, for now is delete the tags.php and add it as a symlink to the one that's linked on the main page, because that would make more sense. And then if you want, we can split it off later then as a separate page.
The split off one is actually just a subset of the report that I originally did. So
yeah,
it's
I think you should just link to the report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want. It's linked to the section. That's certainly one way of doing it. So, yep, okie doke. But the tags are there and quite useful.
Right, just did that. Yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah. Fine. Good. So we're done.
I think that's it. There's not the community calendar's pretty much empty. So no point looking at that for January. So that's us then.
Okay. Anything to add there, Tojet?
No, other than thank you, Ken, for coordinating all this.
I'm just a front end for Dave.
Yes.
How do you?
And yes. I did add all 3 episodes that I owe you to my to-do list now.
Excellent. What to-do list software are you using there? You might do a show on that as well.
Oh, I'm just using Evolution.
Evolution? We haven't had a show on that in ages.
Yeah, well, I'm using Evolution.
I can do this all day, folks.
Tied into Nextcloud on the back end.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you're using Evolution tied to Nextcloud?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, do a show on that, because... And are you able in Evolution to change the format of the dates to ISO 8601, which is year, month, month, day?
I haven't had to mess with that.
Yeah. Listen to the HPR New Year show for my many and multiple rants on that particular topic. Meanwhile, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker.
By the way, I imported the upcoming recording dates from your ICS on the website for the community news. And it pulled in no problem, and it adjusted for the time zone without issue into Evolution.
That's good job.
I'm using it in Magic Mirror. Okay, ready for the outro? Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of...
Hacker.
Public.
Radio!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.